Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if you have your cell phones, if you could put them in the silent or off position, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, "The Coming Judgment of God is Crying Out." The coming judgment of God is crying out. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And there's going to be a key verse in here that we really need to hone in on. And I'll emphasize that when we get to that verse of Scripture. And so let's go. Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 10. And the words read, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." Wow. Okay. Let me just pause there. How many of us have already buried some loved ones? Or been to some celebration of life services? Okay. That their generation ended. It's over for them. We continue. But our children and our grandchildren become the next generation. Amen? So the generations keep going until God says, time is up. Look at this, verse 5. "The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers of the look at this. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To place from which the rivers come, there they return again." Look at verse 8. "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Okay, here's the key, verse 9. "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before." What is the Word of God saying? Saying what has happened in the past, it will repeat itself again. You see, God has patterns that He wants us to look at in the Old Testament. Right now, Pastor Art's teaching us in Exodus. And we're seeing some of the things that now have become patterns. We talked about it in the last meeting. We talked about Sukkot. How the Jews now celebrate that as the seventh feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. But it all was a pattern that started in the Old Testament. What Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes here in verse 9 is that which has been is what will be. So in other words, it happened one time, it will happen again. I want you to catch this on what I'm trying to emphasize as we go further into this morning's message. And so, saints, in the book of Nahum, we'll be looking at a 150-year prophetic word that came to Nineveh and is also a foreshadow, a repeated cycle that involves the United States of America, our nation, our country. And to understand the prophecy, we need to understand, saints of God, what the Bible reveals as three types of prophetic insight. So in other words, to understand prophecy, you have to understand three distinct insights of prophecy. And we're going to go here right now. Let's look at this. The plain meaning of prophecy. This type of prophecy that we're seeing right here, the plain meaning of prophecy, is basically a literal prophetic event, such as the walls of Jericho that tumbled down. Now, we read the walls of Jericho tumbling down. That is not just a biblical fact, but it's also a historical fact. Because if you go into the ancient writings, if you go into history, you'll see that those walls did tumble down in Jericho. We've been to Israel many times, and our tour guide has taken us, and we have spoken to geologists in that area. They confirmed these are the walls that fell down. And, you know, we teach our kids the walls, Jericho, like this right here. The high priest marched around Jericho. For the last one was, they came on the seventh day. They came and they marched around seven times around the building. And then they were told by Joshua to blow the shofars. They didn't need any catapult. They didn't have technology to blow it up. They believed God and said, blow the shofar. And when they hit the shofar, an earthquake came and tumbled it down. That is a fact. So that's one insight of prophecy. Then there's this. Let's go here. The symbolism of the prophets or prophecy. There are symbols. And this type of prophecy is revealed through symbolism, which could reveal political, religious types, kingdoms, and nations. What the Bible talks about, especially if you look into the book of Revelation. Let's go there right now, and we're going to see a symbolism of what John the Revelator was writing down for us to read this morning. Look at this. In Revelation 13:1, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Okay, so now you're going, a beast that has what? Seven heads? How could that be? We've never seen any creature with seven heads. Maybe two, but not seven. Ten horns. And on his horns, ten crowns. And on his heads, a blasphemous name. Look at this. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear. His mouth was like a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne and great authority. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled at and followed the beast. So if you read Revelation maybe for the first time, you're scratching your head. What is that? Well, that symbolizes a prophetic meaning so that you could understand this. Let's look at this slide that I found. There it is. The lion, the bear, the leopard, the dragon. Okay? So what John was talking about, all these animals pertain to a nation. So we're looking at Iran. We're looking at Russia, the bear. The young lions, we're looking at England and Europe. You're seeing the serpent and the false prophet back there. That's where the Vatican lives. Yep. All these things right there that it was mentioned in Revelation. So that is the symbolic prophetic word. Okay? And it came out of the sea. Meaning, what do you mean? What sea did it come from? No, the sea means it came out of humanity. That's what the sea means. It came out from humanity. All these nations rose up from humanity. And they governed themselves and they came together as one. Okay. So now, let's look at number three. The cycles that are repeated. And this is where we want to focus here. We're going to look at the repeated cycles. So we saw the true meaning, events that took place, that were prophesied, that they took place. Then we looked at the symbolism of prophecy. Now we're going to look at the repeated cycles of history. What did we just read in Ecclesiastes? That was that what was then will happen again. Amen? Okay. So we're going to look at Babylon. In 539 BC, Cyrus the Great of Persia conquered Babylon. We know that. And there was many Babylons mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Okay? The Bible records in the book of Daniel that there was a handwriting on the wall. How many remember that? It's where Belshazzar, who had been ruling Babylon on behalf of his father, Nabonidus, saw handwriting on his palace wall during a feast, which Daniel, the Hebrew, he interpreted it as this, the fall of the past Babylonian Empire. Then John the Revelator saw the fall of the future Babylon Empire. So we see Daniel prophesying that Babylon was going to be conquered. And it was conquered. But then John saw that same Babylon going to be conquered again. You mean, but that, how can Iraq? Iraq is nothing but rubble. What Babylon is he talking about now? Okay? Because Babylon was a place of merchants. It was a place of commerce. It was a thriving community. There was a whole lot of trading and buying and selling. Babylon was thriving. They thought they had it going on when they conquered the Jews. They took the Jews into captivity. Did you know that Daniel never saw the original Jerusalem? He was born in captivity and God raised him up there. But God gave him a vision that guess what? Babylon was going to be conquered. And it was. It was. It was conquered. And now John, he's seeing a future Babylon. Who could that future Babylon be? Well, let's go to the book of Revelation. We're going to look at a few verses here. And then you ask yourself, who could this be? Now, then I'm going to show you some things that connect the dots. So right now, we're observing. We're saying it could be, maybe, but we're going to then connect the dots. How many love the connected dots? You ever get one of those cartoon things and there's a whole bunch of numbers and you connect the dots and then all of a sudden there's a picture? Oh, okay. None of you played that before. Okay. Yeah. We're going to connect the dots right now. Hold on. It's coming. But let's go to Revelation 18. This is now John the Revelator. He's on the island of Patmos. And he's writing this. He's writing this in captivity. Did you know they threw him in oil and he still survived? Did you know that he was abandoned? He was ostracized? He was on a little Greek island called Patmos. Matter of fact, it was by the grace of God only that Yolanda and I got to go to Patmos. It's a real little tiny island. It's a Grecian island. We did a side trip going to Israel. We went to Turkey. And from Turkey, we got on from Ephesus, we got on a boat, 4-hour boat ride, crossed the Aegean Sea, right to the island of Patmos. And we had a nice lunch. It was a Greek Mediterranean lunch. And then they took us to a cave, and it was all decked out of there. Signs, John was here. This is where John lived. Well, it was the only cave on that little island, so it had to be. It was the island of Patmos. So, let's read this right here, what John wrote down. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Look at this. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I don't have time to get into this, but I taught on a different message showing all the ports on the coast of our country and all these six tower big giant merchant ships that come from China, come from everywhere into our ports because the earth has become wealthy because of us. Did you know that we are the number one imports of goods? We rarely create anything anymore because they all left. So, but we are a consuming nation. So everything, when you go to Walmart, what's it made by?
China.
Korea. Yeah. Rare things are made in U.S. anymore, right? So we are a consuming nation. We love to go spend our money. Some of us get money, man, we're burning a hole already. I got to go buy something. Yeah, amen, Brother Angel Bray, amen. I heard that. Look at this. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Meaning, these nations are in bed with this nation. They're fornicating, meaning not just sexual, but they're doing things together which are being hidden from us. I'm going to expose that right now. Hallelujah. Look at this. And the merchants of the earth had become rich through the abundance of her luxury. If you want to know how wealthy now Saudi Arabia is, just Google. Just go Google basically go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and go to the search and say the lifestyle of Saudi Arabia's kings. They're trillionaires over there. The king of Saudi Arabia has over 50 automobiles, and the minimum are $500,000 each. These are cars that you never heard of. Full of gold. Gold inside of these cars. Then they have a $500 million seaport there in Dubai, and they got a $50 million yacht. The king does. How did they get wealthy? Through us! Because we've been buying their oil all these years. These guys that wrap their heads around with towels are wealthy. Wealthy beyond measure.
No more towels.
They've taken over a lot of things. They've taken over the boxing industry because now all the boxing's over there. They've taken over everything. They're so wealthy. Just remember, go to YouTube and type in the lifestyle of the king of Saudi Arabia and you'll go, oh my gosh. The jets, they've got like a fleet of jets at their disperse. They got property everywhere. They're just wealthy because they what? Right here. It tells you right here. And the earth has become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Let's look at this, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to the works in the cup, which has mixed and mixed double for her. This nation, why does God want to judge this nation? Why does God say that this nation is very sinful? Well, if you look at the history of a nation that we're going to show right now, it's the number one nation in sex trafficking. It's a number one nation in drug abuse. It's a number one nation in hardened criminals in the street that have gangbangers, cartel, whatever in this nation we're talking about. the politicians are all corrupt. Everything has become corrupt. And so when a nation turns that way, and the church no longer has a voice, the church is silent behind the pulpits, the church is no longer saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You're never going to hear churches repent. There's people living in sin in church, and they're not saying anything. There's people fornicating, homosexuals in church, and they're not saying, turn from that lifestyle. Get your life right. Get cleaned up. Get delivered. Let the power of God change you from the inside out. But no, they just want numbers and just hide away. So the church is at fault here. Because there's no longer a pulpit across the nation. In the 1940s and the 1950s, the pulpits were powerful in this nation. But no longer are they powerful anymore. Lord, help us. How many of us need help right now? Oh God, do something. Wake up the sleeping church. You try to bring a message like this in a church, they'll kick you out. You don't bring that here. We all need to get along. And that one next to you is going to hell because they won't repent from their fornication and homosexuality or whatever the case may be. God help us. Look at this. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. How many plagues do we have to receive until we wake up? This is why what I'm going to show you, we need to cry out to God. You know, I notice the least attended ministry throughout the whole week, not just here at Amazing Grace. I went to Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. There was 3,000 deep there. But out of 3,000, only 50 showed up for prayer meetings. Here, 3 show up. Where's the rest of the church? Some people, it's just things are just too important to cry out. I know this hurts, but guess what? God says speak it anyway. And if they don't come back, they don't come back. But I got a plan for you. Hallelujah. Look at this. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed, double for her. Oh my goodness. God is saying, I'm going to do something about this. Look at this in verse 7. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. In the bay in New York City, there's a queen that sits up there. And what's her name? Lady Liberty. I sit as a queen. And I am no widow and will not see sorrow. Our military goes on all the time, no matter what party's in there, Democrat, Republican, we're strong, we're mighty. Oh yeah, have you seen your enemy's arsenal now? China has doubled their warships to us. They got 150 jets, fighter jets more than us. These people are serious. I'm telling you, what we're going to see here, the church needs to pray or everything that we have will be gone soon. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Did you see that? One day. And death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. God judges this nation. And he doesn't hold back anything. My goodness. And so I want you to see now this slide that I have. This is the United States, and right next to it is Nineveh. I want you to catch this. Jonah was spit out of the mouth of a whale at Joppa. Okay, you see the body of water, the long body of water that's in the middle of that screen? That's the Mediterranean Sea. The whale spit out Jonah. He got out of the whale, and then he did a one-month journey on foot all the way to Nineveh. But why Nineveh? And let me just say this, because when he got there, the king and all the country fell on their face and repented. Well, wait a minute. Who was this little guy? He probably stunk like a fish. That's just like someone knocking came to your door and says, I'm gonna come in here and set up the authority that's supposed to be in your home. You're gonna toss him out. This is my home. Who are you? But when he showed up, God did something in Nineveh's heart that this was a message from God. And so there's another prophetic word for America that parallels with the ancient city of Nineveh, as we can see right up here. Its rabbinical interpretation, meaning cycles, parallels, especially between Israel and the United States. Did you know that Israel is like a little U.S.? So let me go back to that one scripture when we opened up, and we're going to emphasize on this scripture. Oh, wait, first of all, let me show you this. Let me show you this. How many remember the solar eclipse that went from Oregon, I think Washington, that came all the way down, and then 7 years later, the other one came from Texas that went all the way to Maine, right? And made an X on our nation. Remember that? That eclipse, its path, went over these cities in the United States on that day. Look at this. There's a town in Nineveh in Texas. There's a town in Missouri called Nineveh. In Indiana, there's a town called Nineveh. In Ohio, there's a town called Nineveh. In Pennsylvania, there's a town called Nineveh. In New York, there's a town called Nineveh. And Nova Scotia, where the solar eclipse left, the last town was Nineveh. Is that a coincidence? No. It's not a coincidence, is it? And this is why I showed this. Something parallels here. And we're going to look a little further, and we're going to see and confirm why this judgment, I truly believe, is around the corner. Around the corner. Okay. So once again, Ecclesiastes 1:9. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before. Wow. And so, saints, that was the Old Testament. Let's confirm now in the New Testament that talks about repeating certain cycles. So if the Old Testament says cycles repeat, does it say that in the New Testament? So that we can confirm it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 here. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. I don't want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. Look at verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. Christ was there, and Christ is here now. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus was with them back then. Nothing's changed with that. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. He changes not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. But with most of them, God was not all well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Meaning God had to chastise these folks because they were rebellious back then. Look at this. Now these things, verse 6. Now these things became our examples. Okay, so what we read back then Paul's writing them down saying, let those things be for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What is God saying? For us not to lust after sinful things like they did. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Wow. That's what they did. Let's move on a little further. Verse 8. Nor let us commit, here we go, sexual immorality. I shared that earlier. What's happening in the church. He's writing to believers, not unbelievers. The unbelievers can't, they don't have a clue. You show scriptures to an unbeliever, hey, get out of here. I don't believe that. He's writing to us believers. Nor let us commit sexual immorality. In other words, adultery, fornication, transgenderism, homosexuality, child molestation. All these things that people are doing in and outside of the church. Look at this. And in one day, 23,000 fell. In the Old Testament, because God was so angry at them, He opened up the earth and they fell in and then closed them up. God destroyed 3,000 rebellious people back then because they didn't want to go on Moses' side. And Paul's reminding the church, look at this example so that we don't fall into that trap. Nor let us stand, look at this, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You ever been around people, all they do is complain?
I don't like that music. They don't say hi to me.
You know, you get all that. Why don't you be kind to someone and they'll be kind right back to you? Look at this. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. See, these things that we're reading were written for us so that we could be built up in the faith, so that we don't fall into those traps. Can I get amen? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. God has a better walk for us. Can I get amen? Amen. God has a better place for us. Amen. We don't have to follow the world. Amen. Look at this. And they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. We're coming to that last portion of the end of the age. Look at this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Fall. There's some people say, man, I got that. Ah, yeah, I heard that already. I'm okay. Yeah, right. You know what that is? That's pride. There's no humility in that. None. And then, look what Peter wrote. Look what Peter wrote. Because Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. Now look what Peter wrote in his second epistle to the church. This is all to the church now. Look at this, 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That's why they went down there, because God's going to judge them on the white throne judgment day. And did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Turn to your neighbor and say, has God made you a preacher of righteousness? Turn to your neighbor and ask that question. Let me just say this. If you have repented of your sins, and you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can stand before God as righteous before Him. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Look at this. One of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. Wow, look at this. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. They became an ashtray. You know, when you flick ashes, that became an ashtray. Condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those afterward who would live ungodly. It was an example for us to see, don't live like that no more. Can I get amen? Turn from that. Turn from that. Turn to Jesus. Go to a place that will speak truth to you and not lie to you. Look at this. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Man, you know when God says they had filthy conduct, you know how they rolled back then. Oh man, bleepity, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. And then their conduct was wicked. You think they had, you think today is just a modern vernacular to say this one changed to be that transgender? No, they were back there too. They were wicked back there. Help us, God. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Just imagine, he had to endure. Lot had to endure. Well, guess what? We have to endure where we live now. You can't watch anything wholesome on television no more. You can't go to a supermarket. You ever been where there's a lot of maybe youth or young adults, maybe at the mall or whatever, and if you get close enough, you can hear their language? It's not good, is it? Especially when 9-year-olds are saying the F-bombs. 9, 10-year-olds are saying the F-bombs now. Wow. Look at this. And hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Wow. There's a day coming for them. How many believe that there's a day coming for them? Look what it says in Jude. Let's go to Jude. There's no chapters. There's just one book. The book of Jude. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Uh-oh. Those who did not believe. Those who didn't want to obey. Those who wouldn't want to follow instructions. Now, man, you know what? I'm going to party Friday night and Saturday, and then I'll come to church Sunday morning and say, praise the Lord. Look at this, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain. These were the fallen angels that came into the men and women in the Old Testament, and out came the Nephilim. How many believe that Goliath was a Nephilim? Well, next Friday, I'm going to be showing the brand new movie. It's a series called The House of David. And I saw the trailer, and Goliath was about 12 feet tall. And the men came, the top of their head, they were like 6'3", 6'4". They came to his belly. He towered over them. And that's who David fought. So, 7 o'clock here next Friday, if you want to come. Doors will be open. We'll see who comes and watches it. Amen. But look at this. Amen. Praise God. And now look at verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know people in that lifestyle? You need to show them that. Because you could tell them all day long and they're going to think, oh, keep your opinion to yourself. No, let me show you what God said is going to take place if you don't repent. But nowadays we're afraid, I don't want to offend them. Well, guess what? You will stand before God and say, why didn't you offend them? Oh, come on. I'm being real here because God is real about it. This will always, this, God has already written this. This word is already forever settled in heaven. We cannot go up to heaven and amend what is written. We cannot go in there and change it. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's set in stone. Lord, help us. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. And so, let us focus on two Old Testament prophets. They are Jonah and Nahum. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, as I shared, to warn that nation because of their grievous sins that God was going to destroy them. And so, in recorded history, saints, in 757 B.C., Nineveh, listen to what happened to these guys. This is why the king was at his last rope. Nineveh had been hit with two disastrous plagues. They had two types of COVID-19 there. We've only had one. And rumors are another one's coming. This time it's going to come from a rat, not a bat. Created in someone's lab. And it's going to be unleashed. Yes, it could come from the same place too. Look at this. I want you to catch this. Nineveh was hit with two disastrous plagues. A solar eclipse was right in the middle of those plagues. Right in the middle. Thousands were dying from those plagues. Then in 765 B.C., they had a six-year civil war. So here they are. They have plagues. People are dying. And then they had a civil war in Nineveh, killing each other. So they had a civil war during the two plagues. It was right before God had destroyed. He decided. God said, you know what? I'm going to just destroy that nation. Stench has risen to the heavens. I need you to start now thinking. What other nation today where the stench is going up to heaven right now as we speak? She said, I be at the beaches. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go to Jonah. Jonah 3:1. Look at this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. This was just a town. This was a national city. Huh? Yeah, this was a nation. Now look at that. It was a great city. A three-day journey in extent. Look at this. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let me pause right there. Once again. Like, who are you? And the king would have said, arrest that one and throw him in the dungeon. Who is this guy? Who is this stranger that God's going to judge us in 40 days? Look at this. So the people of Nineveh, believed God. They believed God that here comes a stranger, a Jew, matter of fact, an enemy to Nineveh. He was an enemy. They didn't like each other. Israel and Nineveh didn't like each other. But here comes Jonah, a Jew that came. Who was spit out of a mouth of a well because he didn't want to go there. And God had to grab him by the and hook his mouth and pull him and says, go. Some of you for a long time was like Jonah until finally you surrendered to Jesus. How many times did people used to come and preach to you, witness to you? Yeah. That's right. I got a amen from Elliot right over there. Praise God. He hears my voice. Amen. So the people of Nineveh, look, believe God, proclaimed a fast. Oh man, they what? We need to fast now and put on sackcloth for the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king. Most kings in Israel beheaded those messengers. They threw them in the pits. But let's look what this king did. And he arose from his throne and he laid aside his robe and he covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He repented. My goodness, why? Because people were dying left and right in this country. They had two plagues. They had a civil war. And God says, now I'm going to destroy you in 40 days lest you repent. Listen, if an angel came and shouted to our nation and said, repent everyone, or in 40 days the bombs are going to drop, what would you do? What would you do? Look at this. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. In other words, fast, fast, fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his, what? In his hands. All that bloodshed was on the king's hands now. He was the key. And he fell on his face. My goodness. And so saints, Nineveh, they repented with sackcloth and ashes and went on for another. Here's the grace of God. After they repented, God took his hand of judgment off them. And they lived as a nation for another 150 years. God allowed them to prosper. God relented his hand. You know, that's the mercy of God. Do you know that God is merciful? Do you know that God doesn't get nothing out of enjoyment of judgment? But he has to when rebellious people don't get it. Look at this. But something atrocious happened in their fourth generation. The whole nation once again backslid into sin 150 years later. The Bible says that God returns to visit the iniquity of the fathers and the third and fourth generations of them. There was a law of the fourth generation in Israel. Nineveh and the USA is a type of nation that moved away from God. They repented and then they fell back in sin and then God destroyed Nineveh 150 years after the king repented. I want us to show us something here. Now, 150 years later, the prophet Nahum brings a word of warning to Nineveh to repent for all the grievous things, and they repented. Well, saints, did you know that God was going to destroy us too? This is where the dots connect now. I'm taking you to where the dots connect in this message. Because we had a civil war. We have had plagues. This major one. We have been sinful like them. Look at this. In verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster, and he has said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Praise God. This is what I love about God. When you repent, he restores. When you repent, he lifts up. When you repent, he covers. When you repent, he allows you to prosper again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, saints, in America, we had a civil war that ended in 1875. It ended. And who went before the country and repented and cried out to God to spare this nation. Why was God ready to destroy America 150 years ago? No. Abraham Lincoln. Why? Because they were enslaving the blacks in the South. And the North wanted them to be freed now. And there was a civil war. Because they wanted to keep the blacks in slavery. And so God said, you know what? He was ready to destroy them. And then Abraham Lincoln cried out. And then he also cried out to Oliver Cromwell. How many know who Oliver Cromwell is? He was from England. But he cried out too for the Civil War. Because when it ended, when the Civil War ended in 1875, fast forward 150, what year is that now? 2025. So exactly 150 years from Nineveh's warning, God spared them. Well, God spared America during the Civil War to go on to prosper for another 150 years. This is where this brings us to. 150 years later, what was then will repeat itself. Are you catching this? Are you catching the dots here? Are you putting the dots together? Because God will always warn first. And He has been warning. He has been sending prophets. He's been. But the sleeping church won't put the prophets on to allow the church to repent. And we got some disastrous, hideous lawmakers and politicians both on the same aisle or different aisles. If you're going to point at only the Democrats, you better look at the Republicans too, because they're all in the same boat. They're all doing evil and wickedness. They're all taking money. You see how much money's been stolen now? From you and from me. But look, this is why what stopped the war during the Civil War. It was Abraham Lincoln crying out to God and Oliver Cromwell. Look at Oliver Cromwell. Look at that. There's the Civil War. It was an ugly war. You got the North against the South. Killing each other. For what? One wanted the blacks free. The other one wanted to keep them enslaved. Help us, God. So look at this. Oliver Cromwell. This is what he wrote down. These are the writings. This is in. It'll go down in infamy. God's visible judgments and terrible remonstrances coming unto our knowledge should be our observation and admonition, that thereby the inhabitants of the earth may learn righteousness. For to let them pass by us, unobserved, argues too much regardlessness of God in the way of His judgments. Our nation has kicked out God everywhere. You can't see the Ten Commandments in courts. You can't see God in the schools. You can't say Jesus. You can't bring in your Bible. I'm hoping that all changes, but I don't know to the extent of it. We pray that it will. Look at this. But to hear and fear and do wickedly no more. To search our hearts and amend our ways is the best use that we can be made of any God's remarkable terrors manifested among us. He goes on to say, when God is angry with us, it ought to be our wisdom to meet Him and make peace with Him. Except we repent, we shall what? Likewise perish. Therefore, this should... look at this. Therefore, this should awe and humble our hearts before the Lord, rising up into more perfection and godliness, doing unto our God more and better service than ever. Hereto we have done, reverencing and sanctifying His dreadful name in our hearts, especially when His judgments break in upon men. Wow. Even in His own house, mingling their blood with their sacrifices, and in the most terrible manner, smiting and wounding and killing, as this ensuing relationship may appear. The Lord teach thee to profit thereby, that it may be as a sermon to thee from heaven by the Lord himself. End of his writing. Cromwell. Abraham Lincoln quoted this in his writings and went before the nation to repent, to ask God to forgive them of their sins for the bloodshed. And God ended that war, and it saved the nation. So we are recipients of God's grace 150 years later. We're here still now. But remember, Nineveh was judged again after 150 years that went by because they went back into sin. Have we went back into the sin? Nahum says this, "Woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs." Look at this. America has aborted over 70 million babies since Roe versus Wade. If you capture or kill a baby eagle, you'll be fined for $25,000, 2 years of imprisonment. But you can go and abort your child. Look at this. Our politicians believe the more they lie and steal, the better off their chances to be elected. You know that thing that's happening right now? Doge has already discovered $350 billion that Washington, D.C. politicians have wasted, frauded, and abused us, laundering our taxpayers' money. Did you see the hideous things that went under the radar? And then the cave. Jesus, help us. So, what did God do? God had to send, he had to send drastic things to Nineveh. And he had to shake them up. That's why when Jonah got there, the king was ready. He didn't fight. That was a sign that God still wants. God still is for us. Let's repent, everybody. Because he put them through the ringer. Look at the ringer that's happening right now as we speak. Look at this. These hurricanes that don't stop. That is North Carolina. That there's rivers in their cities. And yet no buildings have been repaired yet. And FEMA was supposed to help these people, but guess where their money went to? Luxury hotels in New York for illegal immigrants. And these people said, Where is the mindset? God is allowing these judgments to come, to shake us up, to look. God is saying, look, I want you to look at this. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm allowing. Look, look. Because I'm about to judge the land. I'm about to bring it now. It's been 150 years, just like Nineveh, to the year. And it's upon us now. And I hope this message goes out. And if you're watching and you shut it off, shame on you. Look at this. Rivers right through their city, right through their neighborhood that was never there. This is that flood that came all the way from Florida up into the Carolinas. Help us, God. And then look what happened just recently. Where was these fires at?
Out in my backyard.
Huh? What, the Palisades? Yeah. Look at that. They couldn't douse it out. And look at this. On the left, that's a whole neighborhood. Look at what's left. They have no homes. What is God saying? I'm allowing this so that you can wake up. Hello? More's coming. Oh, but these happen all the time. Really? Ever since that solar eclipse went over all the towns of Nineveh that I just showed. All these now are showing up. You know, what human beings, we have short memories. We got short memories. This is why you need a preacher to remind you what time it is, what day it is. Help us, God, because the land is now burning too. It's flooding, it's burning. Watch out for the earthquakes, they're coming. Oh, all this is coming. Why? See, God wants to shake this place to give us one more chance so that from the president on down would repent like the king of Nineveh. Shake it all up. Shake it all up. Help us, God. Help us, Jesus. Look at this. In Nahum 1:8. The burden against Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Ishkelite. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Look at this, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Don't think the wicked has gotten away with things. Did you know the day before the fires came in Palisades, those movie stars were mocking God?
Yeah, they were. The night before.
The night before. Mocking God. Yeah. All you people that believe in God, there's no God. And mocking God. Now they're walking around with signs. We need food. The Lord has... Yes, that's right. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of the feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. In other words, God's in total control. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can stand? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? When God gets angry, look out. You can't stop his anger. His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yeah, you know, I get this all the time. You know, God is love. God understands. You're okay. And we go, yeah, it's okay. God understands. Yeah, but he also understands you need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. Then God will prosper you and heal you. And God will deliver you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's something that we got to do. Look at this. But when he's angry, this is what happens. His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. What? Look at that. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. Wow. Don't get on God's bad side. Can I get amen? Learn to love him. Learn to obey him. Learn to follow him. Learn to exalt him. Treat others like you would want to be treated. Love others like God loves us. Can I get amen? You'll go a long ways. Tell them the truth. Tell them in truth and love. Show them what we've shown you. Show those who are in those lifestyles. Listen, I'm here to help you. Look what happens to those who disobey God. Show it to them so that their blood won't be on your hands. Can I get amen? Saints, God is warning our nation and speaks of our leaders in this manner. Look at this right up here. From you comes forth one who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down when he passes through. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you, what? No more. Yes. Man, I'm getting some great amens over there. He's saying, preach. Look at this. For now, I will break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your gods, I will cut off the carved image and molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. That's what God says. So I'm going to end with this. Let me ask you this. Do you believe God is speaking to our nation? Do you believe God still loves his people? Do you believe that God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances and so on? Do you believe that God is a God that will always forgive? And do you believe that those who refuse to accept his forgiveness will fall into hell? Because hell's a real place. And that's where the ungodly goes. Then here's the key verse for us. And I hope to see more come out to prayer. And if you can, I get it. But this morning, me and Sister Yolanda were praying in the Holy Ghost at 9 o'clock this morning, all through this place, praying, God, let your presence be here, God. Let your voice be spoken, God. We are praying these things. So here's the key for us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Notice he calls you to be in a place where to cry out to him. Some of you have a prayer closet in your home. Cry out to him. So there's personal prayer, but then there's corporate prayer. Corporate is where we gather together in the unity of the faith and together with one mind seek his face and turn. Listen, sometimes we got to stop being busy and remember that God comes first. Because we're going to be with them for eternity. Are you going to be up there saying, well, Lord, excuse me, but I got to attend to this. Where are you going to go? You're in heaven now. We're going to be with them forever. And forever. And he's going to make all things new. All things brand new. You're not going to be in this body of flesh that suffers, that gets weakened, that grows old. No sickness, no diseases. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that day? Oh yes, come on. Can I get an amen over there in the north wing? Yeah, I got that amen over there in the north wing. Ooh, hallelujah. Jesus, help us. And so, I believe those that are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you logged in. Maybe you were typing in amazing, or you were typing in the word grace, and you stumbled to our website. And then the anointing of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, grabbed your spirit to continue to listen. And maybe you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity now. Because I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. That you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would turn from your wicked ways. That you would give your heart and watch God do a brand new thing in you. Oh yes, he will. He'll do a brand new thing in your heart, in your life. But you got to believe God by faith. Amen? You got to believe that God is real. And all you have to do is repent. All repent means is turn from wherever you were going, wherever your walk is, turn, make an about face, and turn to God. And then ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, to wash you in His blood. And then watch Him fill you with His Spirit. And watch Him give you a whole new life. You'll be born again and have a brand new life. I believe some of you want this. I believe some of you didn't know how to get this. Many of us were looking for love in all the wrong places. But we found who we've been looking for, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has fulfilled our being. He has fulfilled us. He has given us hope. He has given us vision. He has given us a new path. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. And God will do something brand new in your life. And all you have to do is repent and say, God, forgive me. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Let's bow our hearts and our head and just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy? Woo, He's worthy. And we love the Lord here.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give You the praise.